Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio, AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you from Southern California live. Tonight here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we've dedicated this hour that God's Word would be heard, that we could share the Word of God, share the truth of God through the Bible, and share God's love and show Him reverence and our hearts for Him, to show Him how much we love God. We've put this hour together. There's no commercials. We don't have any. We don't ask for anyone's money. We don't have any sponsors. As a matter of fact, if anyone out there listening tonight doesn't have a Bible, we're glad to send a copy of what's called the Bible Promise Book for free. Just write us at the 11thHourMinistries.net. And we'd be glad to send you a copy of what's called the Bible Promise Book. It's pure scripture through the New International Version of the Bible. And once again, this is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you from Southern California, an hour dedicated to reading the Word of God and the Bible, the scripture, according to our God, our Lord. And we believe here at the 11th Hour Ministries that God has given us such a gift. We believe that the Bible is a book that helps us to share in a miracle in motion. We actually here at the 11th Hour Ministries call this the 20th century application to timeless instruction. And here we truly believe that God is giving us the truth to live our lives by and the wisdom through the Bible to live our lives in a fruitful manner, in a godly fashion, so that mankind can have the blessing that God intended this world to have. And so here tonight, again, we encourage pure scripture to be read. We've talked many times on this program about how people give their opinions and seek wisdom from their friends. Actually, the Bible does say that we are to, where there are many advisors, victory will be sure. The interesting part of that as I grew up was I sought advice from people who generally were the same people that I would go to advice for, that would give me the advice. I pretty much knew what was coming, and unfortunately, I wasn't getting sound instruction and neutral instruction from the folks that I had sought instruction from. So once again, here we are at the 11th Hour Ministries, here to share the Word of God. I'd like to open with a prayer tonight. Father God, please forgive us all for the sins that we've committed to this moment in time. There's 6 billion people on the planet Earth, God. And how many of us have trespassed against you, God? How many people hurt you and do things against each other and against you, God, on a daily basis? We all do, God. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short to your majesty, your level of importance, God. And we want to thank you, God, for just even allowing us to say your name. We know that there are people on this planet that don't have the freedom of reading their Bibles. And here in America, we do have that freedom and luxury. And it's such a shame, God, if any one of us would take and abuse the privilege of having the pure scripture, the pure Word of God, and not cherishing it. God, we ask that this world in such a lost and broken state, God, that you open the eyes and ears and minds and souls and spirits of the people who are in our world now to understand, God, that this is you calling. The pain that we see in our society today with all these banks and all this disastrous financial turmoil, God, there's no surprises, and we truly believe here at the 11th Hour Ministries, God, that you call upon us when we're doing things of our own will, that, God, you will stop and put roadblocks in our way to have us pay attention to what is most important in life, and that is you. And so once again, God, we thank you for the blessings in our lives. We thank you for the challenges and trials and tribulations in our lives. Because, God, we know that it's you calling us. We know that it's you getting us focused more on you. Generally, God, when people are having an easy time in life or a smooth sail, so to speak, that they're not really calling upon you as much as they are when there's times of troubles. And so this society has obviously come to a place, God, that you can't be pleased with the majority of what you see on earth. Without a question, there are true warriors for you, God. There's true soldiers. There's true apostles on the planet earth doing your works and sharing your truth and your word. But God, in many cases, we are falling short, especially as the master design that you put together for our society and what we see going on in our behavior with each other under these circumstances. So we ask God that you would use this circumstances, the current events, to open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, and our souls and our spirits as a whole, as a society, to show us, God, that you are in command. You are the greatest knowledge and wisdom and love there ever was and ever will be, the Bible itself. And Jesus Christ is our brother, and he's given his life up for us. And so let us not take advantage of that or live in spite of the fact that God has sacrificed his son, and the Lord is willing to do all the work for us to get us out of our sin, help us understand how to live a wholesome, godly life. And we pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. There's a song, actually, that goes along according to what I believe is very apropos for our current times. And this song is somewhere in the early 1970s, I believe it was recorded, but it has such great meaning. And if you listen to the words of the song, it's got such a powerful message that really still to this day, obviously back in the day when it was written, it had impact and meaning went along with the current events of their time in the early 70s, but it also at this point in time still applies. And the thing that really is mind-boggling to me is this not what we have seen in society and the way we treat each other? Take a really close listen to the words of this song, and then we'll be right back to you.
Long ago, above the kingdom on the mountain and the valley folks below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley the people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, tell it in the name of justify it in the end. Once we had a trumpet going, come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after, one sin soldier rides away. Though the people of the valley sent a message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure and the gold for which they killed, came an answer from the kingdom, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountains, all the riches buried there. Now the valley cries with anger, mount your horses, draw your sword, and they killed the mountain people, so they won their just reward. Now they stood beside the treasure on the mountain, dark and red, on the stone of the peace on earth was all it said. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, justify it in the end. Rock me and a trumpet blowing, come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides away. Mm-hmm.
judgment day on the bloody morning after. One can throw the light away.
Man, so we hear a song about the people in the valley and the people on the mountain, and you know, the newcomers, the people in the valley, who find out that there's treasures in the mountains and the mountain people, and so they set out to find out what this treasure is. And not only do the mountain people want to share their treasure, but they're more than happy to, you know, to let these people in on the secret and kind of give them, you know, a neighborly love and things of this nature. Well, the valley people set out to destroy the mountain people and steal what they think is gold and silver and riches. And they rush the mountain, they kill all the mountain people, and they find the treasure. And all the treasure says is peace on earth. That's all it said. And so they destroy and slaughter. For what? Greed and all of their, you know, self-serving needs. Well, what's interesting about the society today, as we spoke of, was, you know, it appears as though that was very apropos back in the day in the 70s when it was written. But also think about how, you know, our society right now, $700 billion bailout. And we at the 11th Hour Ministries have been praying that God would bring our society to its knees, just as the same as when the time when Noah was on the face of the earth, and God was so displeased with the people and what they had done with the world that God had given them. And rather than to do the right thing and love one another and consider others in front of yourself and all the different teachings of Jesus in the Bible, that they were actually defying the word of God in such a way that God was totally distraught with the society had become, and he wiped out the face of the all mankind on the face of the earth except Noah and his family. And so what really is quite amazing is that our society, if you look at around at our media and what has become important to us, where we focus our attention, what we do in a daily routine to achieve what we think is success. What has our life become? What has our world become? What has our society become? Since when do we care about each other anymore? There used to be, people talk all the time about, you used to be able to leave your doors unlocked in neighborhoods. People would have some kind of trouble in the neighborhood and the whole entire neighborhood would come together. If the barn burned down, everyone would come and join along and help rebuild the barn. They wouldn't charge money. They wouldn't be asking for what have you done for me lately? And so, you know, the more and more we see the desensitization of our society, there's so many different ways that our society is breaking down the truth according to the Word of God. This country was built around Scripture, based on Scripture, and with the heart of Scripture in mind when it was put together. And the more we take God out of schools and now we have gay marriage, I mean, there's such a distortion of the truth. And you know what's really interesting about it is the Bible is a book that's written, every single word of it God breathed, and it doesn't change, it hasn't, and it will not. The promises in the Bible are strong and steady, and they'll be there for all time. And so what is the proof that we have a society that we're watching erode in a giant way? We can actually turn to Scripture for that. And here at the 11th Hour Ministries on KCEO Radio, we do tell people that it's actually the pure Word of God, the pure Scripture that does the work of God. We can get each other's opinions. We can talk about what our opinions are. We can put our own twist or spin on what we think God's trying to tell us. But in essence, the greatest gift we can give each other, the greatest way we can love God and show Him our love in Jesus, is to spend time in the Bible, reading the pure Scripture, and have God talk to us directly, one-on-one, in our hearts, regarding what his message is in every single word that's in the Bible when we share those words with God. And so let's start off here in 1 Timothy, and it talks about the love of money. Imagine that. Is there anyone that can relate to someone in their life who all their focus is the chasing the almighty dollar? They call it the almighty dollar. And, you know, although money has a great power and it is a great tool in our world, when we lose focus on what's most important in our lives, we tend to choose gods that are outside of the real God. And some people actually have money as their God. And so this is what the Bible teaches us about the love of money. This is 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ to the godly teaching, he has conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malice talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And I'm going to say that again. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And I believe many of us can relate to that, but we'll come back to that. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And so here we are in this modern day age. We just watched $700 billion was just pumped into our economy, not into the pockets of people who are starving. When on earth do you think that you're going to see a chunk of that $700 billion? You think they're going to send you a check tomorrow? I don't think so. Actually, Pastor Mike of the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside said today that he was reading the paper, and it says in the paper that that the money went to Wall Street, the $700 billion went to Wall Street, but that there's another level of that the housing market needs to increase before we'll ever be able to see an impact for the $700 billion bailout package. So the housing prices have to increase before any of us ever see the benefit of the $700 billion. Well, the point is that how much money is enough money? I mean, is a trillion enough? Is 2 trillion? I mean, I can't even count that high. The point is that we're in a spot where, you know, our own behavior has caused a logjam of biblical proportion. You know, the Bible talks about famine. It talks about when the times when the locusts swarmed, when there was plagues of all kinds and everything of this nature. Let's don't kid ourselves to think that this is not a, you know, equally enormous plague, just like the times when the locusts swarmed or the plagues in the Bible. This is a there are people, actually I saw on the news the other night that they're considering putting a net under the Golden Gate Bridge because it's the cheapest way to save people from jumping off the bridge and killing themselves. And I thought to myself, why don't we try to fix our society so people don't want to jump off the bridge in the first place? I mean, there's a good idea. Now, that's a novel idea. Well, how do we fix what's wrong? Does anybody, if you could actually sit by right now and watch the way our society is going and the things that are occurring that are obvious signs that things are wrong, there's symptoms, and you know, we have the symptoms of a very ailing society and an ailing world. Well, let's don't look at the, the aftermath or the consequences of an illness, let's look at the source. You know, there's so many people are focused on, there's so many doctors and psychologists and so many teachers and so many different people on the planet that are trying to make sense out of our world and what it all means, what is our purpose on earth and this and that. Well, the irony of it is, it all comes from one source. There's one source of truth. It's the Bible. There's one set of rules. It's the Bible. And through the Bible, through the word of Jesus Christ and our God, all things are correct, harmonious. All things from God come in such a, there's a joy and a peace and a knowledge that comes along with our scripture and our God and our brother Jesus that nothing and no money can, no amount of money on the planet Earth can buy and nothing can replace. And so what's happening is it's a clear signal that our society, the more we take God out of church, we take God out of schools, you know, condone gay marriage and things that are anti-Bible, it's just becoming more of something that we're going to pay for those behaviors. And the Bible talks about our God as a jealous God. And generally when people are, you know, like we talked about earlier here, is if we're living a life that's peaceful and harmonious to whatever degree, and we're just serving ourselves, et cetera, we're not really calling upon God generally in that type of scenario because life seems okay, no big deal. Well, it's the people that if you ever watch these cop shows or any of these chase scenes on TV where there was a gentleman who was caught with a bunch of marijuana in the back of his car, and I'll never forget it. He was in the back of a cop car when he got caught, and they were running the audio tape in the back of the car, and this guy's calling out to God as they're pulling the pot out of his car. He's in the police car, and they're videotaping the police in his car pulling these big giant bales of marijuana out of his trunk, and he's going, "Oh God, no! Oh God!" And it's like, why is he calling out to God right then? It's an interesting time to become religious. And I don't know how many times that young man had been in church, but you can sure bet yourself that, you know, God was the only one who was going to get him out of trouble in that case. And the key is that at my point, there's an instant reaction, an inherent reaction for us that when in times of trouble, that we go right to God. And it's something that they haven't thought through. He wasn't sitting around in that morning and thinking that if he gets caught with his marijuana in the back of his car, the first thing he's going to do is talk to God. That was a knee-jerk reaction. But where did it come from? God is in us all. He gives us life. He gives the spirit in us. And he gives us the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. And this program today, is like I said, is dedicated to, you know, trying to make sense out of a society that has gone far off the beaten trail in how we are behaving with each other and what we're doing to show God's love and peace and truth in our worlds. So in Matthew, we're going to jump over here now and read some more scripture. Going according to the same plan here is it's called the storing your treasures in heaven. That's what this scripture's has to say. So this is Matthew 6:19, treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Imagine that. So here we are. Let's go back to the $700 billion, you know, chunk of money that's coming out to save what? Wall Street. Who is it going to save? I mean, there's a few super, super wealthy entities, people that will be saved from the demise of the losing their money. But in essence, how many of those people are truly, really rich? And the question is, this is when we read the scripture, the Bible says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Basically, God's saying in the Bible, in the scripture, in living according to God's truth, when we have his word in our hearts, when we wear it on in our hearts and our souls and our minds and our spirits, and when we act as he would have us act through the Bible, when we read our scripture and we live according to his commands, then we have true treasure. We're actually the richest people, the mountain people who had peace on earth, is all it said. And here the valley people came in, they thought they were going to get rich. They're going to ride up and steal all the gold. But they didn't get it. And that's the key. Does our society, when is our society going to get it? It's not a question of does it get it, because obviously not. I mean, look at the filth and immorality that is promoted on our television sets in the middle of the day, and how these folks can, you know, it's all about the love of money. It's all, they're taking advantage of people who aren't as intelligent or who are harmed, who haven't been brought up with the proper guidance, and they're using those people as their vessel to become rich, and they're mocking the people in order to get filled their pockets with money. And our Father God is not happy about it. Our God loves every single soul on this planet Earth, and when he sees what's going on here, you can assure yourself that he just shakes his head and cries, because how on earth can we live with ourselves under those circumstances? And God actually, what another scripture here is Matthew 7:7. It says, ask, seek, and knock. And the most important thing is, I believe that the 11th hour ministry is here tonight, is that if we pray and commune, that God would help us to pray in whole, that our society will finally turn and every knee shall bow, every person will drop to their knee in submission to our Lord. Like Dr. Phil says, how's it working for you? Our society's a mess. How's it working for us, folks? It's not. Well, the key is God gave us an answer. There's an open book test. It's as simple as opening our Bibles and sharing the truth. God, at one point, you know, as I grew up, it wasn't cool to read our Bibles. It wasn't cool to have God in our lives. Now, on the other hand, I'm blown away because I see movements in our society that are so powerfully driven to let our Lord be known, let the truth be known, let God be known, that it's just absolutely, you know, amazing that we can to see how powerful these people who do read their Bibles, who have turned their lives over to the Lord and have become his witness in this modern day age. So there's a definite yin and yang about what we see in our society, and it looks like the minority is now growing larger. So our prayers here at the 11th Hour Ministries, the reason for this program, and once again, we don't have any sponsors, we don't take your money. This is an hour dedicated to sharing God's truth, pure scripture, so that someday, somehow, with enough prayer and faith, that God will take our society that is here now and multiply the people who get the truth in their hearts and minds and souls and spirits, who want to live a pure, wholesome, godly life, who want to dedicate their days to doing good for others and serving Jesus. The Bible says Jesus came to serve, not to be served. The Bible talks about how we are to consider others in front of ourselves. That's what our society is supposed to do. We're supposed to be considering others in front of ourselves all day, every day. And guess what happened? Back in the day when you used to be able to keep your door unlocked and when your barn burned down and all your neighbors came over to help you and they didn't ask for your money, they were considering you in front of themselves. Sure, they wanted to sit around and relax all, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, but no, if you needed help, they were going to step in and do the right thing. And the Bible clearly teaches us, Jesus says in the Bible, you are either with me or you're against me. And so we're here at the 11th Hour Ministries once again, sharing the truth. All the work gets done through the Bible. It's all the Word according to God. There's no man that can even touch the wisdom that comes from the Bible. No one's opinion, no one's, there's no church or person or entity that comes close to how powerful, when we read our own Bibles, we have a one-on-one relationship with our God, how powerful that moves us in our hearts, and how amazing the miracle that goes in motion when that happens perpetuates. There is no stopping. It's like a giant snowball. And so here again, 11th Hour Ministries, we are here to get that ball moving and just watch it build and build and build. And we just are humble servants of it. There's nothing more gratifying than to see a person whose life is shattered and broken. Alcoholism, drug addiction, prostitution, any type of negative, hammered, down-drawn type of existence, and it gets corrected by a very simple turn, and that is to turn to the Lord and turn to the Word of God and turn to the Bible. I'm very sensitive. I have a family member who was brutally raped at in the teenage years. And it's still a pending court case, frankly. And the thing about it is that how many people on this planet Earth with sexual immorality have been violated? You know, you watch these, there's a program on TV right now about addiction and intervention. And you know what? 90% of the females in that program that have drug or alcohol abuse issues, what are all the common denominators? They've all been violated because somebody put their grubby paws on them when they were a kid. Well, that's what we're talking about, folks. We're here to, you know, every family, they look, you know, sterling from the outside. They look like the happiest family on earth or whatever. Everyone has dark, deep, dark secrets. The key is that God in the Bible says that all things hidden will be revealed. We're here to shine a flashlight into the darkness in every corner of this entire globe, so that our Father God can bless the actions and things that are take place in our world, and we are to get in each other's lives. Through Scripture, we're to hold each other accountable. If I'm trying to love someone, I'm not really loving them if I'm just tickling their ears with niceties and just going on having a mediocre day and not causing a ruckus. Jesus came with a sword. He didn't come to make peace. He came with a sword, says the Bible. And the reason why it says that is Jesus came to shake the tree. He wants the truth to be heard. And the truth is difficult to hear, and it's difficult to say, but what a blessing the truth is when it's told. The Bible says the truth will set you free. And so what's so amazing about the Word of God and the truth is that the society that we're watching sort of rust and corrode and cave in on itself can be saved, and my faith tells me there will be. And the main ingredient is we need people that are praying big prayers. How big is our God? The question is, how big or how small is our God? Can our God take this entire planet and snap his fingers and have every person's eyes and ears and mind and soul and spirit opened up to know the truth and to drop on one knee and bow to him and become united in God's truth and his love and his amazing mercy and grace? He would have wiped us all off the planet with this one spark of a bolt of lightning, but he's giving us a chance to turn our ways, and let's make our daddy proud. That's what this show is about. There is a clear signal that God's calling. And once again, like Dr. Phil says, I gotta love Dr. Phil. How's that working for you? Come on, what more signals do we need? We've literally prayed here at the 11th Hour Ministries that God would crush the head of the snake, that God would have every person who doesn't follow him, who doesn't want to know him, that those people who purposely set out to do evil things, that he would crush the head of the snake. And so in my opinion, what's happening right now is that first the people who took advantage of all the innocent people in the mortgage industry and violated them and took advantage of them because of their lack of understanding or lack of knowledge, well, they all got choked off. And now all of a sudden, Wall Street itself, you know, the people who sit back and call the average person all the little people, and they think just because they have gold-laden sinks and cars that are, you know, worth bazillions of dollars in their big giant homes, that's not wealth. But they, in their arrogance, the giant rise of what our society thinks is important, well, look what's happening. They're all running scared because their money's going to disappear. The Bible talks about the rich man in the Bible and what happens when the rich man comes to Jesus and asks Jesus what he's supposed to do in the case of to follow Jesus. So anyways, we have another scripture that I'd like to go to right now, and that is that in Matthew 7:13, it talks about the wide and narrow, the narrow and the wide gates. And the Bible here in Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And so we know that the way God works is He's not looking for the ways that the masses handle each other. He's looking for the people who are actually going against the grain, or so to speak. You know, don't go through the life going with the masses, because the wide is the road to destruction in the case of the masses, but go across the narrow bridge. Go where many people, you know, do the right thing and try to help each other. Just like, you know, the way we talked about how God, how the people in the olden days would do the right thing for their neighbor. Consider others in front of yourself. To love one another as Jesus loved us. Men are supposed to love their wives like Jesus loved the church. Wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. I mean, we had a movement, Women's Lib. Well, it flies in the face of the Bible. That's it. Cold, point blank truth. Well, God doesn't want women to be demeaned. God wants the proper structure so that there has to be a hierarchy in our lives that makes all things work. If we have a business, for instance, Jesus wants us in our business to be able to, excuse me, we have a boss, we have supervisors, we have workers, we have customers, you know, there's a structure, there's a pyramid structure in all the ways that we handle ourselves in our society. And ultimately what we're looking for is the same structure in our world that isn't clear yet. People aren't focused with one God that makes the rules through the Bible. We all follow the same rules and everybody wins. It's really that simple. And so how dare I, I'll say this about myself, how dare I be so pompous and arrogant when I was a young man to think that the Bible was written by men and I don't believe that stuff. I'm not going to waste my time on a Sunday morning. There's so many different things that I was in my defiance or unwillingness or ignorance to not want to turn to the greatest gift of all. And it robbed me of, I was lived in so much pain and anguish and turmoil. There's always something missing. One thing is for darn sure, every person who doesn't have God as the center of their relationship has an ache that cannot and will not be cured or healed, cannot or will not be filled with anything else. You can run to every corner on the planet Earth to try to solve what you feel in your heart, can fill that void, and you're never going to find it, because there's only, because that hole, that void is made by God, and he wants to fill it with his love, his peace, his harmony, his joy, and he wants us to share it as people together, as a family of Christians. And so there's a really interesting scripture we were just talking about, is the rich young man. And so I'd like to read this scripture to you. It's in actually Matthew 19:16, and the heading is the rich young man. Now think of this as we go on, because here we are on the topic of money in our society today. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." I'm going to read those again. "Which ones?" the man inquired. And isn't that interesting? Because he wants to know which ones, you know, are there any that we shouldn't? Well, no, they're all to be obeyed. But in the meantime, Jesus replies, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your mother and your father, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, that's what the Bible teaches, and if somebody can find some fault in what those teachings are, we know whose team they're on. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? So here's a righteous young man. This guy is basically, he never murdered, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't steal, give false testimony, honors his mother and his father, and he loves the neighbor as himself. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, what's God trying to say? What is Jesus telling us? Is that this man had his priorities wrong. Jesus doesn't want us necessarily all to be poor. But here's the main ingredient in that particular scripture. This was the one item in this man's life, or the one thing in this man's life, that was his God, or higher, or he put it in a higher, greater position than the importance of God, the Bible, the truth in scripture. Because God says not to store our treasures on earth, to store our treasures in heaven. And so the main ingredient is where do we park our values? What is most important to us as people, singularly, as well as a society? Are we really, if Jesus, in essence, what he was basically saying to the rich man was, if someone came to you today and said, there's a homeless family, and I need you to give up your home so they could live in it, would you do it? Well, the question is, in your heart, if you have the heart of the type of person who would be willing to consider your neighbor in front of yourself, as the Bible says, that's the type of person who God will bless times 10 in their lifetimes. God wants to know that we have the heart to go there and do those type of things, and he will super bless our behavior in that category. We also want to go to Matthew 6:25, which actually, again, along the same lines here, is this particular scripture says, "Do not worry." So here's the question today. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a powerful scripture. Let's go back to, this is Matthew 6:25. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. How many can say that they truly don't worry about those type of things? We have billboards and magazines and sex sells and thin people and all the things that our society has been degrading women and the image of a woman into the belief that this is the style or the body style, to the point of people who are starving themselves to literally to death to promote that same image. How horrible is it that we would ever make someone think that by their exterior that the cover of the book is what makes up the contents? What a crying shame. And Jesus clearly tells us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. So basically God's saying every day a bird is getting, you know, the sun comes up and the bird has enough food and enough shelter, and it lives a very fulfilled life. God sees to that. And that's the same for us. He wants us to be in the same type of scenario where we're relying on God to guide us in our lives. And so, you know, once again, here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we actually consider the mystery of the gospel to be a miracle in motion. All the things that we're talking about today are so important to our walk with the Lord, to our lives in conjunction with the Bible. God wants us to love one another. He wants us to do the right things. You know, we call it keeping it real here at the 11th Hour Ministries. And this is just, you know, I'm a guy who's a sinner saved by grace. I actually am so thrilled when God gives the opportunity for us to tell his truth in any way, shape, or form. I do attend what's called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside here in Southern California. What an awesome, amazing church. And the reason why, they actually follow the scripture literally through every verse and chapter of the Bible. Every week there's another message given by Pastor Mike that comes directly from the Bible. It's not Pastor Mike's opinion. It's not his version of what he thinks it says. It's not his the design of his some type of facade that he put together, what he thinks church should look like or religion or any of these type of things. It's pure scripture. And God's alive and well in this church. And they read the scripture about baptism and they promote baptism as the Bible teaches us to confess our sins and to be reborn by the act of baptism that is taught in this church. I have to say that I'm joined actually right now in the studio by my oldest brother, Jim, and his wife, Dawn. And these folks are here visiting from Philadelphia, here to Southern California. Went to the Lighthouse Christian Church today, and I watched my oldest brother become baptized today. And so what this really means is that today's his birthday. Today he became a new creation. The Bible says that we are born again. And in the Bible, the question is, how can we be born again? And the question, you know, how do we become born again? Well, it's a spiritual birth. You actually make a choice. You make a physical confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, an actual confession in front of others, and then you're actually physically baptized by immersion. And when you come, you die to yourself, and you'll become reborn in Christ in that act. And so, I just wanted to shout out to my brother and how exciting and amazing it is, and how proud I am that I have a brother who is has shown me such a great love of God. His children. How about even he was baptized by his son? And so, how amazing it is where. As this man, Jim, my brother, grew up, and there was some turmoil in his home and, you know, a little bit of marriage issues, like, you know, normal stuff that everybody goes through. But he always, and his kids were a little bit rebellious, kind of standard procedure, and he always kept bringing his children back to one very simple principle, which was, I'm going to church, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to love our Lord. I recommend that you come with me. I'm not going to force feed you to do this, but I am going to continue as a constant through all the storms that came and all the growing pains his kids went through and all this kind of thing. And here's a man who's continuously says to me, my children love God. That makes me the richest man on earth. That's it. That's it in a nutshell, folks. That's the bottom line. If you look up in the dictionary, you know, how God would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. There's Jimmy's picture. Because why? It's because his priorities are straight. Here's a man who knows that the real true treasure is when you share the truth, the miracle in motion, the Bible, the 20th century application to timeless instruction, the truth, the only truth, nothing but the truth. So help you with the real God. That's what he's given to his son. And I watched today his 20-year-old Marine son, who is a very respectful, handsome, you know, God-fearing. If you ever wanted your daughter to date a good guy who's, you know, somebody you can take home to mama, guess what? That's the kind of guy you want to see walk through your door, folks. And that's the son that was raised through this society where he could have taken any direction he wanted. He watched his father stay continually focused and constant on the Word of God, steady as she goes. He didn't club him like a baby seal and give him. And so here, Jay, who you've heard on the radio program here in the past, his daddy flies across the country and with his mom, and they both end up in this Lighthouse Christian Church, a place where God is alive and well. And his dad, my brother, chooses to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and become baptized by immersion, because the Bible says so. And he knows that he's going to reap the fruits of that action, or the Bible says you reap what you sow. And Jay baptizes. Jay said to me, my dad, can you imagine, my dad brought me to God, and now I may be the guy who baptizes him. And I watched it happen today. The son baptized the father. And that's just, it doesn't get any better. I mean, you know, I'm not really a sports fan, folks, but, you know, the Super Bowl and all those other things you all watch on TV, it's just not for me. And I understand how, you know, excited you must be when you watch those, you know, final touchdown passes and all that, but I can assure you that when they say the Hail Mary pass, I wonder where that came from. Why are they always talking about God when it's something amazing, I wonder? But anyways, I watched the ultimate Super Bowl today, which is a soul that is turned over to the Lord by a person who just wants to love the Lord more. He wants to know our God more. He wants to learn more about the Bible and Scripture. And what happens is we become a new creation. God gives us new eyes, new ears, new hope. Remember we talked about, folks, how's that working for you? You know, our society as in general, we had Lisa on the program starting about 3 months ago. And here's something that just blows me away. And I hope that Lisa's listening. She moved into a new town in her. She moved, like, I think it was 150 miles away. She picked up her tent and packed it in and moved to a different town. She was riddled with people living in a society where she was just surrounded by negative people, negative energy. And today in the Lighthouse Christian Church, Pastor Mike said, part of the sermon, here it is in James 17, James 2, 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Well, here's a woman who saw that she came to the Lord through the Bible. She committed her life to the Lord through the Bible. She paid very close attention, read where the Bible says to be baptized. She got baptized in the Lighthouse Christian Church and changed her life, but she also put her faith into action, and God's going to bless her life for all time because of that. And so, once again, here we are at the 11th Hour Ministries, here to share God's love and God's truth. And, you know, today is all the angels and saints are just absolutely thrilled about another soul who has turned to our Lord and our Father, and how proud our dad is when all of us do the right thing. And the main ingredient is, folks, that we're here tonight to promote, do the right thing, keep it real. Get yourself a Bible, find a Bible-based church, and share the love of our God. Share the Scripture. Share the pure truth with one another, and most of all, consider others in front of yourself. Amen. God bless. See you next week.